So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text 41. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhumam Divyam Manusham Cha Mahitvam Karma Yogajam Yash Chakre Nirayopamyam. Purusanujana Priyaha Bhomam Divyam Manushyam Cha Mahitvam Karma Yogajam Yaschakre Nirayopamyam Purusanujana Priyaha Bhomam Divyam Manushyam Cha Mahitvam Karma Yogajam Yaschakre Nirayopamyam Purusanujana Priya. Bhomam Divyam Manushyam Cha Mahitvam Karma Yogajam Yaschakre Nirayopamyam Purusanujana Priya. Ladies? Bhomam of the lower planets, Divyam heavenly, Manusham of human beings. Cha, also. Mahitvam, all opulences. Karma, by fruitive activities. Yoga, by mystic power. Jam, born. Yaha, one who. Chakre, did. Niraya, withheld. Opamyam, comparison or equality. Purusha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anujana, to the devotee. Priyaha, most dear. Translation: as a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaj Priyavrata considered hellish the opulences he had achieved by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary systems or in human society. Translation, please repeat. As a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaj Priyavrata considered hellish the opulences he had achieved by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary systems or in human society. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. There are different types of opulence on earth, in the heavenly planets, and even in the lower planetary system, known as Patala. A devotee, however, knows that they are all material and consequently he is not at all interested in them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Param drishtva nivartate. Sometimes yogis and jnanis voluntarily give up all material opulence to practice their system of liberation and taste spiritual bliss. However, they frequently fall down because artificial renunciation of material opulences cannot endure. One must have a superior taste in spiritual life. Then he can give up material opulence. Maharaj Priyavrata had already tasted spiritual bliss, and therefore he had no interest in any of the material achievements available in the lower, higher, or middle planetary systems. Thus then the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fifth canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Bhomam divyam manusyam cha mahitvam karma yogajam yaschakre nirayom pamyam purusanujana priya. As a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaj Priyavrata considered hellish the opulences he had achieved by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary systems or in human society. Om Agyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitana Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Jadati Svapadandigam Aradhanastrinandandai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Ram Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual masters opened my eyes to the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here, Maharaj Priyavrata, on account of being great devotee of the Lord, although he's achieved so many opulences, in the end, he's not at all attracted to them. Because it's very important to cultivate devotional service from the beginning of life. Just like we know in the teachings of Rishabhdev, he says, from beginning, childhood, one should practice Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj, he also told his friends, oh Prahlad, why are you teaching us about Krishna? Now we're young, let us play and have a good time. Later when we're old, we'll do Krishna consciousness. And people have this idea that when I'm old, then I'll take up spiritual life. It's like I can remember so many times when I was president. Some old guy, completely bent over, can half hear anything. Swamiji, I want to move into the ashram. When he had opportunity, his body was healthy, his senses were strong, he wanted to enjoy. Now that he can no longer enjoy and his body is useless to do any service for Krishna, he wants to join the ashram. Now that he cannot do anything, he's totally useless. When he was useful, he didn't want to serve Krishna. Now he's useless, he wants to serve, but he can't serve either. So throughout the life, from the beginning of life, we have to practice Krishna consciousness. In the middle of life, grihast is also known as ashram. Grihast ashram, there's two. One is grihasta, one is grihamedi. So even in grihasta life, we have to practice Krishna consciousness. Then at the end, it becomes much easier. We're also getting practical experience. Now the senses and mind don't bother so much like they used to when we were young. And we're able to concentrate on our Krishna consciousness much better. Because we have cultivated it all along. So now that the senses are becoming less agitated, it's easier. It's not that, let me enjoy like anything, then at the end, automatically I'll become renounced. No, the taste will remain. One who spends his whole life in material enjoyment, in the old age he becomes very miserable because now he can no longer enjoy. But the taste is very heavily still there. So we have to practice Krishna consciousness throughout the whole life. And it is not artificial. Here Prabhupada quotes a nice verse from Bhagavad Gita. Param drishtva nivartate. How is Krishna consciousness possible? Because one who seriously prosecutes Krishna consciousness, then he gets a higher taste. He gets a higher taste. Therefore, although so many material opulences may come to him, he's not at all interested in them. Or not totally interested in them. Just like me at Maharaj Priyavrata, he got so much opulence, but at the end he's saying, it's all hellish. He wants to now use the last part of his life just to concentrate. But because he's cultivated Krishna consciousness throughout his life, it's very easy. If you don't, then at the end you think, I'll automatically, yes, what will renounce is your ability. Well, what you will lose, not the taste for material enjoyment, but the ability to enjoy anymore. That we see in West, people are so much attached to sense gratification. When their parents get old, although their parents were serving them when they were young, when they were sick, cleaning up after them, doing everything, now their parents are old, they have to clean up after them and so many things, they just put them away in old folks' home. This is big business. Put the parents where they're 90% of the time totally neglected. It is total. There's no love. Everybody's only interested in sense gratification. So this fellow, he's no longer able to enjoy his senses, so they've put him away in old folks' home. Because he's useless. But we have to prosecute Krishna consciousness throughout the whole life. Then we'll get that taste. Then when we finally grow old and the senses stop bothering, the mind stops bothering so much, then we can relish Krishna consciousness. We have the taste. Taste is there. Taste doesn't come so automatic. Although Krishna consciousness is so nice, automatically we see, as soon as we chant Hare Krishna, we become very joyful. But the real taste for Krishna consciousness is not so. You have to practice seriously. You have to practice seriously. Then you'll get that taste. And automatically, from that taste, then material enjoyment is no longer attractive. It's like we have the example of Haridas Thakur. He was living outside the village, and the Muslim magistrate, he became envious. Why everybody going to see this fellow? So he sent prostitute. Actually, he tried to send prostitute, but nobody, he's a holy person, we're not going to go get involved in that, no. But one girl, she was so degraded, she thought, what the heck, I'll get lots of money and he will reward me nicely. So she came there in the evening time especially when lust is aroused. As soon as it becomes dark, then lust becomes aroused. And she began to exhibit all types of feminine postures. We can just imagine. Actually, we don't even want to imagine. The Haridas Thakur, he said, look, I have a vow to chant so many rounds. You just wait here 1 minute, let me finish, and then we'll enjoy. And he was just there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And she was hearing the sound. Finally she fell asleep, then she woke up, the whole night has passed, and he apologized, oh, I couldn't finish my vow, you come tomorrow. So again she came, because of some previous sanskar, she bowed down to the tulsi tree that was outside Haridas's bhajan kutir. She sat down, exhibiting all types of feminine postures, and Haridas said, no, don't worry, tonight I will finish. And again the whole night went, she was just hearing him chant and chant, and she fell asleep. When she woke up, day is there, she went back. The Muslim fellow was getting very impatient. Come on, make him fall down. So no, tonight, he has promised to be sure tonight. So third time she came, she bowed down to the tulsi tree, she sat down. This time she began to repeat the mantra, because he was sitting there just listening. She began to repeat the mantra. Her heart became purified. She fell down at the feet of Haridas Thakur and explained her position. And Haridas said, I knew everything. But I've stayed here only to deliver. Now you give up everything and you stay here in this hut and you chant. So Haridas was so powerful that such a low-class person as a prostitute was delivered by him. She became a great devotee. She was saying, if I stay here and chant, what will happen? Don't worry. I will take care of you. Krishna will take care of you. And she saw, as soon as everybody came to see Haridas in the morning, they saw the harlot. She shaved off. She had beautiful hair. She shaved off all her hair. She just wore old torn cloth. She's used to wearing nice silk sari. She just wore old torn cloth. And everybody's so shocked. She's sitting there chanting. So every day they used to come, bring fruit, vegetable, and sweets and things for her like that. She had no. Just like Haridas said, you don't worry, Krishna will take care of you. Other side, we have this fellow, Vishwamitra, who was artificially controlling his Haridas Thakur. He was absorbed in chanting the holy name, absorbed in worshipping Tulsi. He was absorbed in devotional service. So all his senses were enjoyed, therefore he was not attracted. He was not entrapped. But Vishwamitra, he was just artificially, without Krishna consciousness, just trying to control his senses. Now Indra, if he sees somebody getting a little advanced, he gets worried that somebody may take over my position. He may become a big, powerful guy by his austerities, and then he may take over the position of Indra, because Indra is a position. So he called Menaka. Jai Sisi Gornitai Sisi Krishna Bhavaram Sisi Radha Shyam Sundar. And actually, this happened here in Braj near Kamivan somewhere. So Menaka came, just the tinkling. For 10,000 years he was meditating, artificially controlling his senses, but just the ting, 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 ankle bell tinkling, disturbed his meditation. He opened his eyes, he saw this beautiful apsara. We're attracted just by these Kali Yuga residents. We can't imagine. We don't want to imagine what an apsara would look like. So immediately he was attracted, and by that union, one girl was born, Sakuntala. And since she's just an apsara, she's not interested in raising child, so she just left her in the forest. Just near Kamivan, there's one place called Kanwara, where Kanva Rishi had his ashram. So he found the girl in the forest, little baby, and he raised. There's a little place there called Kanwara. This is Kanva Rishi's. And the whole story of Sakuntala continues from there. So again, he tried to control his senses for 10,000 years, artificially. And Indra he sent, I forget who he sent this time, another one. This time, Vishwamitra, he was ready. He knew Indra would pull some trick. As soon as he heard the ankle bell, he immediately opened his eyes and he became very angry. Because that's the hardest one. We were telling the other day, the hardest one to control is this anger. Lust and greed you can control a little bit, but anger is, he immediately cursed her. But by his anger, he lost all the benefit of his 10,000 years of austerity. Finally, another 10,000 years, they finally, all right. He's tried so hard. So this artificial controlling the senses were not very difficult. But bhakti yoga means, yoga means to link. In bhakti yoga, it's not that we artificially control the senses, but we link. Yoga means to link. We link all the senses with Krishna conscious activities. We don't say, don't eat. But you give up all this nonsense, McDonald's, this, that, and whatever. We don't want to mention in front of their lordships. You make nice vegetarian preparations. We're not vegetarians either. We're prasadamarians. Because first you make the nice vegetarian preparations, you offer to Krishna first. Then you taste the prasadam. 90% of our, I should say 99%, I think, are Western devotees. We were made devotee by prasadam. You guys grew up with grass school and sandesh and all that. We never saw such a thing. Pakora and samosa and gulab jamun. Prabhupada said, this ISKCON bullet. So the devotees, they were attracted by this prasadam. It is so powerful. Actually, prasadam is very powerful. I remember when I was temple president in Portland, Oregon, in northwest corner of the United States. One place is there. It is exactly opposite of here. Here we have 9 months of sunny season and 3 months of rainy season. And there they have 3 months of sunny season and 9 months of rainy season. It's always raining. We used to call it Puddle Town. Instead of Portland, we called it Puddle Town. So one devotee, he came to help with the temple there, one Grihastha devotee. So until he could find some apartment to stay, his wife was from Portland, so they stayed with her grandmother. And she was just an ordinary American lady. She wasn't necessarily atheist, but she wasn't very religious. She never went to church or anything. But she was an atheist, just an ordinary American lady. So in one corner of Granny's living room, they made a little altar, and they used to offer all their things to, whatever they cooked, they would offer there to their little altar. And they always gave Granny some prasadam. One day, they came home, she was on the telephone to one of her old lady friends, and you know, Mabel, food even tastes better when it's offered to Krishna. This ordinary Karmi lady, she could understand that it's been offered to Krishna, something different about it. You could say, I'm eating vegetables, you're eating vegetables, what's the difference? But there is a difference. You can hear on the recording of Prabhupada, you may say, same fruit, I'm eating whole, you cut it in pieces, what is the difference? But there is a difference. You can hear Prabhupada's voice, there is difference. Even this lady, she's getting taste that this is special, this food offered to Krishna, this is very powerful. It's one of our main sanskrit eating. So we don't say don't eat, but you eat Krishna prasadam, you get taste. You don't like other ordinary food after that. We don't say don't sing, but you give up all this Bollywood cinema song. You sing nice songs for Krishna, you chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And other beautiful songs, just like we started class following in the footsteps of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada with Jai Radha Madhav. And we're hearing it every day, but still it is always so nice, this Jai Radha Madhav song. So we don't say don't sing, but you sing nice song about Krishna. You chant Krishna's names. So many nice songs are there with Krishna's names in them. So we don't say don't sing. We say you sing nice names of Krishna. You sing nice songs glorifying Krishna. We don't say you stop seeing. No, you come to the temple every morning. This is the most exciting part of the whole day is to come 7:15 for darshan arati. You can see how the deities are so nicely, beautifully decorated. We're unlimitedly indebted to this wonderful pujari department headed by Mukunda Datta. They make so many wonderful arrangements. The ladies, they make so many beautiful, incredible flower garlands. We're totally indebted to Govindadasi and her crew. We don't say don't see beautiful thing, but you see, Lord, how beautiful He is, how beautiful Radha Shyam Sundar is. You see how beautiful the flower arrangements. Then you're reading some nonsense magazine, you see all these pictures in the magazine. No, you see the beautiful form of the Lord. We don't say stop seeing something beautiful. You see the beautiful Lord. We don't say don't dance. We say you dance, Swami step. Prabhupada taught us Swami. Everybody has hip hop and so many step. Boogaloo and hoogaloo and I don't know what. I forgot. Break dance. You do Swami step. You dance for Krishna. You come in front of the deities and dance for Krishna. We don't say stop dancing. You dance for Krishna. In this way, everything, every sense is engaged in Krishna's service. Every sense is engaged in Krishna's service. We develop taste. Just like one time Prabhupada was in Balboa Park in San Diego. There's a big place, famous place, Balboa Park. And there's a big amphitheater there outside. And Prabhupada was giving lecture. And one hippie stood up And he started screaming, "But what about sex? What about sex? What about sex?" The Prabhupada stopped the whole lecture, whatever he was lecturing on. He said, "Yes, we also have sex life in Krishna consciousness, but not to produce cat and dog, to produce young boys and girls who will bow down before saintly person, who know what is the value of life, who know what is the value of saintly person. We don't say don't have sex, but you get yourself married, not this boyfriend and girlfriend business. You get yourself married in religious way, you have sex life, you produce children, you train them to be devotees of Krishna." See, even in that sense we can link with Krishna. It says kamos, what is that? Kamos mi parata, something like that. That I am sex life that is not contrary to religious principles. That is incarnation of Krishna. So every sense can be engaged in Krishna's service. Then gradually we develop taste. Then very easily the senses are controlled. Not artificially, very easily, just like Haridas Thakur. Even what to speak of ordinary prostitute one time, Maya, she also decided to test Haridas Thakur. Maya personally came. He was living in cave. So what to speak of, we don't want to imagine even Apsara, we don't want to imagine what type of form Maya could take. Oh my goodness. But even she was conquered by Haridas Thakur. She fell down at his feet and begs, "My Patidev, he has engaged me in chanting Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, but I want whole Mahamantra from you." Haridas was so powerful because of devotional service. Devotional service is so powerful. Even Mayadevi herself, we don't even want to begin to imagine how attractive Mayadevi must have been. That even she became disciple of Haridas Thakur. Even Haridas Thakur, he wasn't born even in Hindu family. He's born in Muslim family. But he was able to conquer Maya herself. Very low birth, but he conquered Maya herself. Devotional service is so powerful. But we have to do seriously, with great attention. Just like the other day we were glorifying Jamuna Devi. Everything she did, those who were around her, everything she did was so much attention. Most of the time we're just in outer space somewhere and we just, you know, chant around, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just like one time the devotees, when there was one nice devotee, godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, named Kinchana Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And Prabhupada loved him so much. And he used to come here in the old days when he was still alive. And devotees relished this, he was always chanting. Very rarely you meet someone always chanting. He was always chanting. Either bhajans or he was chanting holy name. So one day it was Ekadasi, so that time Govinda Maharaj's name was a Yodhyapati. Yodhyapati and all the... Everyone thought, let's go to Krishna's Babaji's place and we'll do bhajans, because he was a very famous bhajan singer. So now you'll begin to know how old we are. They brought all their tape recorders, cassette recorders. Anybody remember cassette recorder? Now you have iPod, this pod, that pad, Galaxy 2, something. But anyway, we had old days, we had tape, cassette recorders, a little tape inside. So they brought all their cassette recorders and they came up to Babaji Maharaj's room. And he took one look at all those tape recorders. He said, "No, today is Ekadasi, you put those all away. You put those all away. Today we're going to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram." And all the voices, "Oh no, we came here for bhajans and now we're stuck. Now it's impolite, we can't just make some excuse and leave. Now we're stuck here. How will we get out the door?" They're all thinking, "Oh, now we have to get out of here. There's no way to get out. Now we're stuck. He's going to make us chant all the way, all day and all night." He said, yes, today it's Ekadasi, we're going to chant Hare Krishna. And he said, no snickety snick. We don't want any snickety snick. No snickety snick. So then, he got them all chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. After half an hour, they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. After an hour, they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And a whole day and whole night they spent with Kinchana Krishna Bhavati just chanting in ecstasy, holy name. So you have to do with attention, no snickety snick. Everything she did, make offering to Krishna. Sometimes we're just a hurry, we just touch it to our neck bead, this tulsi. So she would make nice, very, with great attention, then eating. Sometimes we just blub, 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 blub. Eating, she would just relish this taste as Krishna. If we do with attention and devotional service, then we'll really develop the taste. The taste will come anyway because Krishna consciousness is so powerful. Taste will come anyway. But if you do it with attention, Jamuna Devi was such a shining example. Everything. Because she was thinking, and we're dealing with Krishna. We dealing, who's dancing on our tongue? It's Krishna. Who are we offering this food to? It's Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality God. We're a very, 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 very fallen soul. We've been born in this horrible time of Kali Yuga. We cannot think that I'm a special person. If we've taken our birth in this deep, dark, dingy Kali Yuga, no way we can think that we're a special person. And we're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Billions of universes just by His... thinking, billions of universes come into being. Just to do some little thing, just to put little fence around the property, so much endeavor is there, so much time and energy goes just to build a little fence around the property. But Krishna said, by thinking, billions of universes come into existence. Just by His desire only, they're all destroyed. This is the person we're dealing with. You have to be attentive. Mr. John Swami always used to say, we have to pay attention to the details of devotional service. You're dealing with Krishna. So you have to pay attention to the details of devotional service. So in this way, if we link all of our activities with Krishna, that is yoga. That is the most perfect yoga. Therefore, Krishna told in Bhagavad Gita that of all yogis, yoginam api sarvesam magate nantaratmana sravan bhajate jomam same yukta tamo mataha. This word yoga comes from the yukt, to link. So Krishna says, of all the yogis, yoginam api sarvesam, we know sarva means all, sarvesam, all of them, esam, them, yoginam api sarvesam madgaten antaratmana, those who were worshipping me, shradavan bhajate yo mam, with faith, shradavan bhajate yo mam, Krishna says, worshipping me, with faith. Yoginam api sarvesam madgaten antaratmana, shradavan bhajate yo mam, same yuktatamo. Yukt, linked, uttama, uttama. It's like, you know, tama means ignorance, it's material world. So ut means above, uttama, topmost. Uttama means topmost. So same yuktatama, the most linked to me. This is the topmost yoga, bhakti yoga. Krishna by His own mouth is told. It's not we're speaking some speculation. Just because we're devotees, we're speaking that bhakti yoga is the best. Krishna Himself is told. Same yuktatama mata. So this is Krishna consciousness. You dance for Krishna, you sing for Krishna, you cook for Krishna, you make children for Krishna, you dance for Krishna. You come to the temple to see Krishna, you see the beautiful deities, everything we do for Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. That is the topmost yoga system. It's like we have one book by Srila Prabhupada, Topmost Yoga System. That book made my wife a devotee. We were sitting in the park and she saw these funny people with dhoti and sari and sika and nose pin. She said, we came looking, we were in Boulder, Colorado, which is a special place for young people to go those days. Still is very special. Every yogi ashram, everyone has got some ashram there, yoga center there. Very interesting place. So she said, we came here looking for people like you. We're interested in yoga. And she had a book, How to Lose Weight by Yoga, in her van. So I immediately pulled out a book. I said, this Krishna consciousness, this is the topmost yoga system. So I sold her that book. She came to the... On their own, they went downtown, because we were all the books talk about Bhagavad Gita. So they went downtown to the bookstore. In the hippie bookstore, there was Bhagavad Gita. So she and her friend, who she was traveling around with, they bought Bhagavad Gita as it is by Prabhupada and became devotees. The topmost yoga system. So that topmost yoga system book, she became devotee. So we may think that it's very difficult, especially in this Kali Yuga. Just like even Arjuna, he told Krishna, easier to catch the wind than to control the mind. He says, whatever you're telling, that it sounds nice, but it's very difficult in this Kali Yuga. And Arjuna made similar question. He said, easier to catch, I can catch the wind before I can catch this mind. But what did Krishna say? He didn't say, yeah, you're right, forget about it. He said, abhyas. You know the word abhyas? Abhyas, yoga abhyas. Abhyas means practice. Practice. He said, by practice and renunciation. But Krishna conscious renunciation means engaging in Krishna conscious activities. Krishna told him by abhyas, practice. What do we say in English? Practice makes perfect. We're not expected to be perfect in the beginning. You think, why am I taking so long and having so much trouble? It doesn't mean you start practicing Krishna conscious, doesn't mean now you're perfect. No, practice makes perfect. You have to keep practicing. Just like sometimes on Prikama we go to some place, there's not even hand pump. But to speak of running water, no hand pump, there's only well. On the four sides of that well, there's four stones. And in that stone, some grooves are cut there in the stone. And it's not that somebody came with a hammer and a chisel, ching, 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 and made those grooves. Those grooves were made by the rope. What? How is it possible? Stone is very hard, rope is very soft. It's going down in the water, becoming even more soft. But the Brijavasis, they have one little verse that gives us some hope. Everything is so hard. But the Brijavasis have one verse to give us some hope. Kara kara kabhyase jarmati ho sajan. Rasani avata javate shilpar pari nishan. Kara kara kabhyase jarmati hoto sajan. Jarmati means like Jadbarat, dull-witted fellow. And sajan means gentleman. By abhyas, by practice, even a dull-witted fellow, jarmati, he can become sajan, gentleman, just like in English, in British literature, they have one play, My Fair Lady. There was one lady, she spoke English very terrible way. The rhine and spine rhymes mildly in the blind might. It's a very terrible type of English. Huh? But this fellow took her, and by practice, she could finally say, the rain in Spain rains mainly in the plain. Hmm? By practice. Says, Rasari Avata Javate, Shil Parparinishan. Shil, you know, like over on Shila. Shil means stone. Rasari means rope. Avata Javate, coming, going. That rope is soft, stone is hard. But coming, going. Shilparpari Nisha. Nisha means mark. Brishbhaji is giving proof of this first half of the verse, that by practice even a dull-witted fellow can become a gentleman. The proof is that just by this rope coming and going, that stone has been cut. So we're also thinking, oh, it's so hard, we were so low birth in this Kali Yuga and so nasty, our senses always bothering, mind always bothering, it's not impossible. Our heart is just like stone. Huh? And this Krishna name, he's so soft. How will it ever affect our heart? But the Brishpadi say, Avata Javata, Avata, Rasari Avata Javata, say, Shilpar Padi Nisham. You can see, you go to any well, you'll see the groove is cut there. If I told you to cut a stone with a rope, you'll say it's crazy. But you can see, it is there. So we may think our heart is just like stone, how will it ever be cut? But you just continue practicing. Avata Javat, Avata Javat. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even this stone-like heart will be cut. So this little tiny verse gives us some little hope that we'll come to this platform just like Maharaj Priyavrata. So any question or comment? I put everyone to sleep. Yes.
How the holy name can affect the stone? This is very soft.
Yeah, so this is. Brishpasi always has sweet ways of expressing everything.
Yes, but it means that we have to chant many holy names.
Yes, just like we see that rope is many times going up and down and up and down, but it cut the stone.
Thank you, Prabhu. It's very inspiring. Like this, we want to chant more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Since we're talking about how soft the holy name is, I'll tell one funny story about softness of holy name. It was one of the first times I ever came to India. Somehow my return flight, it went from Delhi to Bombay, then to New York. And so very late at night, we got the flight from Delhi to Bombay, no sleep. Then Bombay, we have to sit, wait for the next plane. You can't fall asleep, you'll miss your plane. Then finally we get on the plane, and plane took off. And the fellow next to me introduced himself as life member from London. And so I was very happy that I was beside somebody pious. You never know who you're going to sit next to, you know. So it must have been like 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, 1:30, something like that. I said, now maybe we can get some rest. And he said, yes. And if we cannot rest, we will do our jap and immediately we'll go to sleep. And I thought this was only problem of the ashramites. I thought this is ashramite problem. And I looked at him. And I said, why is that? He said, you don't know, Prabhu? This world is like a bed of thorns. If you're sleeping on a bed of thorns, how you can get any sleep? You can't get any sleep. He said, but Lord's name is like bed of roses. So if you lie in a bed of roses, naturally you'll go to sleep.
So we'll end our class here. We can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's engaged all of our senses in serving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.